We're going to cross the pond for our blogger spotlight series this week. We've been highlighting personal finance blogs from across Canada, the US. Today, our guest comes to us from West Sussex in the United Kingdom, but don't expect much of an accent. Kara Gamble is a personal finance journalist and the founder of Your Best Friend's Guide to Cash. Most importantly, she's from Nova Scotia. Hello, Kara. How did you get to the UK?
Hi,
did you meet some guy? Did you meet some person on a Kentucky tour and just stay?
Well, a little bit. Basically, when I was after I finished St. Mary's University, I decided my best friend and I decided to go traveling to give writing a go because I had written for the university newspaper, and we closed our eyes on a map of the world and put our finger on it, and we hit Brighton, England. And that's how we moved here. And we came for 6 months. I decided to do a full year. She went back home and then went out to Banff to be a ski instructor. And then lo and behold, I did meet someone and he is British. And yeah, here I am.
And you have a daughter and, you know, are living this delightful life. I've been reading your posts and think, oh, geez, that's so exciting. She gets to live in the UK. How did you get into writing about personal finance?
When I came to England, I worked here and just did normal jobs, you know, making minimum wage in retail. And then my working holidaymaker visa expired. So I had to switch to be a student. And I thought, well, I wanted to do the writing thing. So I did a journalism degree over here, postgrad. And I had to get a job in journalism because of my immigration status when I finished. And lo and behold, one of my friends from here, who's actually from Nova Scotia as well, but we've become friends over here, spoke to an American at a party and she said, "You think you have immigration problems? My friend Kara has a tough one. She has to get a job." And he said, get her to send her CV to me. So I did eventually, and he had his company send it out to all the national newspapers. And I got a call one day from the money desk at the Daily Telegraph. And when the editor said, "Hello, this is Ian Cowie from the Daily Telegraph," my first instinct was, did I witness something?
Right. Whether it was the money desk or the sports desk or the high society desk, you said, "Thank you very much. I'll be there Monday at 9.
Absolutely. Because frankly, it's, you know, the Daily Telegraph is one of the biggest newspapers in the country. And I was prepared to commute 2 hours either way if needed. It was just such a great opportunity. And then about less than a year later, Northern Rock, you know, everything hit the fan basically over here. And then suddenly, you know, the recession, all the money stories started moving to the front of the papers. And I've just been doing it ever since.
Your blog, Your Best Friend's Guide to Cash, you have a delightful selection of stories that you focus on there. Who would you say your target audience is? Who are you appealing to?
I appeal to people like me, basically. I sometimes call the forgotten middle. So we're neither very wealthy or very broke. We're kind of in the middle, getting by, but looking to still enjoy life and spend our money, but we want to spend it smarter, better, and get the most bang for our buck as we can. So
you wrote a piece about birthday discounts, which I love. I think that is an unexplored topic. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
What are
your hot tips for taking advantage of birthday discounts?
Well, the trick is to sign up early, because those deals start rolling in pretty much around the first of the month.
Right.
So you can, if your birthday's at the end of the month, you could really maximize those offers. You can get free Prosecco with the meal. You can get discounts. I mean, they just keep coming in. And of course, the idea is to encourage you to spend. But if you were going to buy it anyway, then you might as well have a birthday discount to go to it.
Sure. You have a daughter, you're newly separated. Which you write about, what are some of the things that you are learning for yourself about this new chapter in your life?
Well, I think I became a single parent, about a year ago now, and just before a global pandemic kicked off. That was a
well-timed, very well-timed.
Perfect. That's how I do it. And, but I like to think that now I'm not necessarily just a single parent, I'm a double parent. That's how I like to look at it, because I have to do everything around here. but also I have to really, you know, look after our financial future, which I did anyway, but now I have to be the breadwinner. I have to be able to be reliant on my own two feet. And you know what? It's actually, I'm learning a lot. And I think, you know, if it's hard, I think luckily I have a very flexible job. And I think with COVID, meaning that everybody's working from home, we are able to, it's a little bit easier to juggle it in that point of view, because I'm home anyway. So I'm here to do the school drop-offs. But I just really need to be careful that, make sure I have the right types of insurance. If I ever became unwell and was unable to work, I need to, you know, look after my income and protect it and make sure that I'm still able to provide for my child.
You have also written about knowing your worth, which is a perennial topic. It's one we should be talking about at all times. But in this particular moment, how do people need to think about that differently? I mean, people's jobs are precarious. My worth, are you kidding? I'm just grateful to have a job, would be the expression for many.
Well, I can understand that. Absolutely. But I think when I talk about knowing your worth, particularly for women, it's not just what we're bringing home in terms of a paycheck. It's all that unpaid labor that you're doing around the house, whether it's the childcare or if it's school runs or pickups, you're doing the cleaning, the laundry, you know. A lot of the household chores are done, you know, primarily by women. And I think the pandemic has actually made that a bit more exacerbated. But the idea is, you have to understand that if you are unable to do that, and your partner had to either reduce their hours at work to fulfill that role, or they had to pay someone, you know, if you were undergoing chemotherapy, or you were recovering from a long-term illness, somebody would still have to do that. And that would cost money. So it's worthwhile considering that when you're looking at protecting not your income, but you should also think of, you know, what else you're contributing that's not directly financial, but would still come at a cost.
Yeah, I think it's an understatement, maybe the understatement of the year to say that women are bearing more than their share of the burden in these times. I do want to reference your book. I know it was a couple years since it came out, Your Best Friend's Guide to Cash, 8 Things Every Woman Should Know About Money. What is your favorite of those 8 things?
I think my favorite thing is about knowing what money can do for you. So whoever said money can't buy you happiness never struggled to make ends meet. Mm. You know, I don't think buying stuff leads to happiness, but knowing you can put food on the table, shoes on your children's feet, that keep a roof over your head, that is a different type of happiness. And money gives you independence and it gives you opportunities. And I think if you are able to kind of, they say over here, you know, look after the pennies and the pounds will sort out themselves. If you're able to, you know, take care of your own financial future, then that can give you a lot more options in life. And I think with women in particular, because of the gender pay gap and childcare responsibilities, we have enough stacked against us that it's important to be on the ball as much as you can and make the most out of what you have so that you don't, you know, so that you're doing yourself right, basically.
Yeah. Kara, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kara Gammell is personal finance journalist and the founder of Your Best Friend's Guide to Cash.